help us to begin with hymn 610. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy spirit now dwell in us, and with love our souls inspire. Fill, O fill us, with that love which casts out fear. 610.
Thank you. The word of God is from the first book of Kings, chapter 19. The first book of Kings, chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? But he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel hath forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake a fire, the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel hath forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel at all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, in every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. May he bless his word to us. Help us in prayer. O Lord, grant us reverence, humility of spirit. O may the fear, that gracious fear, be found within us as we approach thee. O thou who art in heaven and we are on earth, thou who art holy and we are sinners. And yet, Lord, thou hast given us a most precious name to plead. We would plead the name of Jesus. We come again as spared to thy courts here below. Lord, fit and prepare us for to worship. Oh, we do pray for this often. We cannot command it. We cannot produce it, Lord. Oh, grant us the grace to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We would acknowledge and be thankful for the mercy of another day, and we've come to the evening of the day. The day is far spent. We would ask that thou would abide with us. Lord, what a sacred mercy, if that be the case. The Lord of life and glory came on earth, took a body like our own, and lived amongst his people. His company were sinners. And Lord, we do thank thee that on the record of his own word, that now he is in glory, a mediator between God and men, he is with his people still. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We would be more concerned with this promise, Lord, than all the empty seats in God's house. Oh, if Jesus be but there, Lord, what a sacred season that will be. Lord, and we do thank thee that it is not only in thy house, because we have many precious promises that thou wilt be with thy people wherever they are. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, I shall not be burned. Lord, and thou didst demonstrate that. Thou hast said, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Lord, hast thou not said through thy servant, For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, we do seek this blessing at all times, not only in his house. Lord, may we know him in our house. But then we think, Lord, of those days when afflictions or tribulations come. And sure they will come, Lord, and have come. But Lord, there is the mercy that we seek for, that thou wilt be with us. Lord, we seek this favour then as we've gathered around the word of truth. Lord, we sometimes sing, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay. Lord, what a mercy those words are recorded. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And Lord, we're sure that there are those here that, Lord, if they had the occasion given them, that they could testify of these times, when they felt thy presence especially, or it may be that, Lord, times of need have come and deliverances have been granted. The Lord has come. We think of those two that walked to Emmaus, and Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Lord, they were in a state of confusion. They tried to measure by reason. But Lord, things are not known by reason. We do thank thee, Lord, that it was no hindrance that thou shouldst come amongst them. And Lord, what thou didst tell them brought light upon their pathway and light upon thine own pathway as well. So it's not only in thy house. It is a pleasure indeed to be found where thy people gather. And it, Lord, it adds to the pleasure, the joy, when there is a sense of thy presence also. But Lord, oh, be with us each. Lord, young people are here, be with these young people. Watch over them, keep them, protect them, spare them. Spare them from the world. Many attractions, Lord, draw old nature. But Lord, may this sinful nature be subdued. Or may they be found, Lord, in time, followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Hear us for those in the midst of life with all its cares, and Lord, its various burdens, which, Lord, seem to increase rather than decrease. Lord, what is needed more in the sanctuary of God? Oh, there's many remedies put up. Lord, but the blessing of the house of God is Jesus in the midst. It was noised that he was in the house. So, Lord, wherever thou dost lead us and direct us, wherever, whatever spot of ground we should be found upon, may it please thee to be with us on those times. And Lord, and then we think of those, that word of the hymn, when we tread the verge of Jordan. And Lord, that's before us, the verge of Jordan. Lord, if thou wilt be with us in life, wilt thou be with us then? Lord, when we come to Jordan, and life's behind us and eternity in front of us, oh, be very present then to comfort the heart and remove the fears and the doubts. And Lord, in this sanctuary and amongst them, as they gather from time to time, may the Lord Jesus himself be here. And Lord, we don't want to leave him here either. We may use the hymn writer's words, and going, take him to their homes. But then we pray, Lord, for this people, that the Holy Spirit may be here. Lord, he is whose work it is to quicken sinners into life. It isn't the only work, Lord. Oh, Jesus himself tells us what his work is. He shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have spoken unto you. And then again, Lord, he said, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. O Holy Spirit of truth, descend and come, Lord, and reveal the Christ of God, the way of salvation, the precious person of Christ. And Lord, in our hearts and upon our spirits, our Lord, may we have that need of him. We would see Jesus, we read, of those Greeks of old, and we would see him. We would see him in our pathway, we would see him in thy people. We would see him in thy house. We would see him going before us. Lord, what a blessing is the operation and influence of the Holy Ghost. To say of Jesus, never man spake like this man. And Lord, there's no other work, Lord, but the work of grace. Can the Holy Spirit so bring sinners to Christ? Oh, Lord, how vital is his operation and influence. We pray for prosperity, Lord, but God-given prosperity comes through the influence of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we look at the sanctuaries of God and long to see Holy Spirit prosperity. But Lord, we come a little closer. Lord, we would see it in our own souls. Godly prosperity. May Christ indeed be the one thing needful, the altogether lovely to us. Lord, visit thy people here again, we pray thee, and gather in, O Lord, those who love the Lord in all sincerity, whose pathway is constrained by love. Lord, in this place again, own and bless the word of God. Pray for thy servants that stand in this place, Lord, in this spot. Oh, enable them to preach Jesus. Lord, enable them to speak the whole counsel of God. We do beg, Lord, that this real work of grace may be known. There's a lot of false work, Lord, amongst religious people. But Lord, when seed is to be sown, the ground is prepared. So it must be, Lord, in the soul. Holy Spirit, quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ, or else I die. The word is the seed is the word of God, and it prospers on prepared ground. Lord, we do ask thee for this sanctuary and for Zion, and Lord, that we might see these blessings and favours that we continually lay before thee. Be very mindful, Lord, of those not with us. Take care of them, keep them from harm and danger, but Lord, and bring them back at the appointed time. May they be refreshed and renewed and revived. But we're sure of this, Lord, that whilst we are praying for them, they'll be praying for us. We would remember, Lord, too, all who frequent this sanctuary. Lord, the salvation doesn't rest on coming to chapel, but may it please thee, Lord, as they come. They may come with the one desire, to hunger, to thirst. And blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. May this be a spiritual home to them. And may this place be a place where there's spiritual food. Lord, it's essential to those who hunger. Spiritual food. Lord, come, we pray thee amongst us. Bless those who hold office, Lord, in the church, and give them grace, humility and godly fear. And yet, Lord, what a burden it is to be concerned with the welfare of souls. Lord, it is that we pray for them that they may be helped to carry the burden, bear the burden. Hear us, Lord, as we would remember thy people in their pathways. And we think of those in affliction's path. And ask thee, Lord, to lay thy healing hand upon them, according to thy will. Remember those that are in old age, that are in affliction. And oh, if it could please thee, Lord, in these latter days of their life, Lord, that their souls may be set at liberty, and chains that Satan would have to put on them may be taken away, and that, Lord, there may be a testimony to the grace of God, to the mercy of God. And we think of those in bereavement, Lord, we must walk that path. Lord, prepare us for it. And Lord, we do think especially of that funeral tomorrow. A solemn affair, Lord. A solemn affair. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, we do pray that there may be a voice that speaks through these solemn dispensations. Lord, and may it speak loudly and clearly. It will do so if thou wilt be pleased to answer prayer in that matter, Lord, that there may be those who shall have, Lord, something to consider when it's all over. How stands the case, my soul with thee? Lord, afflictions are many, and young people are afflictions. Old people, those in the midst of life. Lord, we do pray, Lord, that all these changes and all these things that come, that they may be, if thou would bless them to thee, indeed for the benefit of the soul, for the prosperity of the gospel within them. Lord, we live in very trying times. Lord, and evil is on the increase. We pray to be kept from evil. Lord, and that's no small desire. We have a nature that loves evil. Lord, we do pray, Lord, that thou would indeed put thy holy fear, Lord, in our heart, an unctuous light to all that's right, and a bar to all that's wrong. Lord, especially these young people, again, we would remember. Lord, sin is very attractive to the natural mind. Lord, preserve them in the fear of God, and by the fear of God, deliver them from the attractions and the drawing influence of Satan. And yet, Lord, it's the people of God that know this influence of evil, Lord, this whispering of Satan in the heart. Lord, what need there is to pray for us each. If we fear God, we shall know opposition. Lord, opposition isn't as strong as it would make out it was. Overthrow the counsels of Satan, we pray thee. So we thank thee for all our mercies in providence, how thou dost remember us and maintain our lot, Lord, and we hold these things with a loose hand because we've to let them go, Lord, sooner than later. Oh, prepare us for heaven. Lord, pardon all our sins, all our iniquities put away. Lord, come this night and dwell here, and may the all honour and praise and glory be to thee. Lord, rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Lord, may it be a sacred season, one of those blessed times that we've known before. Sacred seasons, times of mercy. Lord, may it be so. Now we ask all our prayers and lay them before thee upon the merits of that all-prevailing and precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. 1097. Thank you.
the Lord helping us, I would seek your attention to our read in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, and I will read the verses 12 and 13. First book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 12 and 13. And after the earthquake of fire, the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah was where he shouldn't have been. It seems as though that the fear of his imminent death, or the threat of his imminent death, brought him to flee, brought him to run away. It seems as though he would have forgotten in a previous chapter how he was able to slay those false prophets and furthermore testify to the people of Israel that Israel's God was still their God. How he waited upon the Lord for a testimony. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. What a sweet place he was in, what a good desire he had, that the Lord would testify that he was in his right place, and that he would fight his battles and overcome his enemies. So he did. And we read in the latter part of the previous chapter, the trial of his faith. God has said that rain shall come to Israel, 3.5 years with no rain. Rain shall come again, God will have mercy on his national people. And he had to watch for it, he had to pray for it, and he had to wait for it. Go again 7 times. So Elijah was in a very poor place, really. And there's no doubt there's divine teaching in this for you and I. Very solemn, you know, I felt as we read the words twice, that the Lord said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And the Lord's put into my mind, I trust it is of God, that this word may be a word for those who fear God in this house of prayer. Those who can, if honest and willing, to look back upon these days of deliverances, of which they are the blessed characters who can rejoice in what the Lord has done. Days of blessing and days of favour. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. As ever trouble yet befall, and he refused to hear thy call. And has he not his promise past that thou shalt overcome at last? There's one thing you see Elijah must be taught, and you and I must be taught, that the Lord God of Israel is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the threats of this vile woman would have no effect, because God was indeed Elijah's God. I thought of two things here this night. This still small voice. Not loud proclamation from the heavens. I thought of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. He cried with a loud voice and said, "It is finished." He went to the tomb of Lazarus and with a loud voice said, "Lazarus, come forth." But you know, and you know if you fear God, that there are times when it's a still small voice that speaks into your soul. No one else hears it, no one else understands it, but it's a word from God. But do you know what this means? What doest thou here, Elijah? Are you somewhere in experience, talking about the house of God? Not for a moment. Are you in a place in experience? Would it be right to say this of your pathway and mine? That the powers of evil seem to have gained the ascendancy. You begin to know now that unbelief is a powerful enemy and a strong enemy, and it comes across and questions the very being and the mercy of God. You know, if you go back to the fall of man, you go back to read the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Satan said to the woman, "Hath God said?" And no child of God, you know, is protected from it. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. No child of God is protected from such suggestions. There was a thief on the cross who said to Jesus that if he was the Son of God, that he should come down from the cross and save us. But you see, the pathways of the people of God are ordered and decreed. And whatsoever the Lord has exercised his people about, he will bring those exercises to pass. You may look, and we do look at some of these gracious characters in Holy Scripture. One comes to mind, as I said, that Simeon in the second chapter of Luke. The Lord said to him, or the Holy Spirit rather, said to him, that he should not see death till he saw the Lord's Christ. And leave aside all the suggestions that some people want to make. There came a time when he went into the temple, when they brought in to do for him after the custom of the law, the child Jesus. And the two came together. What a blessed day. It all come to pass. What a sacred time. Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But what would you say, child of God, you that fear the Lord, if you can't get to that word, child of grace, if you desire to fear the Lord, if your walk and pathway and your prayers and your supplications indicate the grace of God in you, can you go back, some of you? The Lord knows why, I don't know why. Can you go back sometimes to those sacred occasions when he's drawn near and gone with you? When he's spoke a word in season, when he's brought a deliverance about which to your puny mind, your natural state would be an impossibility? Has he shown you the preciousness of his Son Jesus? Has he brought you into a place where he's become to you the one thing needful, the altogether lovely? Have you entered into that exercise which the disciples entered into? The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And there was various answers. But then he put the question to them and said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And one of them, Peter, as the spokesman of the 12, said, "Thou art the Christ." How did he come by that? How did he know such a revelation? but he only knew it by revelation. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Have you those things, you that fear God, that flesh and blood hath not revealed it? The Holy Ghost in his mercy as it were, drew back the veil. Just a little. And you've seen something of Christ in his preciousness. Has there been times when you could say with a good apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthians, you know, that these are simple things, but they're evidences. And what child of God doesn't pray for an evidence? Show me a token for good, the psalmist said. Now, the word that I'm coming to was this, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. You see, not only does the Lord speak a word in season to his people, a still small voice operates, as it were, upon their spirit, but he brings to pass what he says. I thought then, as I said that, you know, you go back to that wicked prophet of old, that idolatrous prophet. You go back to Balaam, the words of Balaam. God put this word in Balaam's mouth, not in his heart, in his mouth. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? You know, those are the experiences of God's real family. And they live upon the blessing of the word of God from his lips. Never man spake like this man. You know, just because you read a still small voice doesn't say that there's no power in that voice. I looked just now in, either before we came into chapel or since, I looked at that account of Naaman in the 2 Book of Kings. Naaman was a leper. And through the providence of God, his case was taken up by the prophet Elisha. And so Naaman, with all his chariots and all his pride, all his ways of self-righteousness, so they travelled down to Elisha's house, and all he did was send a message to him. Didn't come out. Oh, that got right into Naaman. He wanted some demonstration, some remarkable demonstration, that the heavens should rend, lightning should flash, the showing of his hands and the upward movement and downward movement of his hands over the spot. And you know who will get the honour, who will get the glory. Certainly not, Naaman should not get the glory. Sent a message. That's all. God sent a message to you. Wasn't a difficult message to understand. But it's a message that conveyed mercy. God doesn't speak to anyone, you know, but his people. The only time he'll speak to the world will be the judgment day. What doest thou here, Elijah? What place are you in tonight? What is your experience tonight? Are you in God's house here? Is your soul at liberty? Is your soul, as it were, on the stretch for Christ? Or has it this day been, as it were, bound down by trouble and trial and difficulties, afflictions? And apparently things... You know, I've said to the Lord lots of times, when we read at the family altar morning and evening, and many times in secret, when we pray unto him, and I have to say, Lord, I keep bringing yesterday's problems here, yesterday's troubles, yesterday's mountains, yesterday's sins. Now, you see, that's the lot of God's people. And now and again, they come to places where it needs a still small voice to speak. What doest thou here, Elijah? It may be, and as there's no servants of God here this night, It may be that sometimes they come to this place where their work's finished. They can't go on any longer because there's no sign, no evidence. And it's a very sad place to be in. No testimony to cheer their heart. Oh, the times without number that you go to that word in the 86th Psalm, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may be ashamed. But you see, who's changed? God cannot change. If he's placed his fear in your heart, if he's testified in your walk and pathway great wondrous things. I thought just a moment ago of those familiar words in the 8th of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt remember all the way in which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. You know, if you've got a nature that remembers his good things, if you've got a nature that remembers, that was a special time, the Lord appeared, remarkably appeared, mercifully appeared, you know, and brought about his blessings and favours. And then, you know, do you remember this? When you felt his frown, when he hid his face, when he withdrew his presence, and oh, you hid yourself away, as it were. You said, in effect, we shall not have this man to reign over us. As he laid a pathway before you, and like Jonah of old, you decide you'll go the other way. Bought a ticket, didn't he? Bought a ticket to go to Tarshish. That's giving up. If you read Exodus 17, at your leisure, they threatened to kill Moses. They were short of water. How the children of Israel was to lean upon their God. How they were to wait upon him. How they would watch his hand and wonder at his provision. But there they were, threatening like the life of Moses. Just want to turn to it because it's got something there which might be a word in the season. I don't know. The Lord knows, you know, what's the purpose of the words that are brought to you from the pulpit. The Lord knows. I'm sure of this that I don't know. And what we read there, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on. Go on. Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thy hand and go. No retirement from that pathway. There was a going on. And you know, it's just the same. The children of Israel were downright rebels when they came into troubles and trials. You go back to the first one. Go back to the Red Sea. Oh, they got plenty of arguments why they should return to Egypt. There was the mountains. There was the Red Sea. And there was Egypt's army. Well, something's going to happen, you know, and it's going to be annihilation. I love that word in the 14th of Exodus, because it's been sweetly used and blessed in my experience. And I've thought often what it must be to be in that predicament, that very solemn place. Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. But the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. There was a way of escape. Wasn't to the left, wasn't to the right. It was in front of them. Same applied to Jordan, didn't it? And after the fire, a still small voice. It was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, who said, What doest thou here, Elijah? Oh, how sad it is. And you know it is, if you fear God, you resort to listening to the enemy. You resort to listening, you know. There's many a gracious person that has had to, as it were, confess the sin of listening to the enemy. And there's many a discouraging word from those who you think better of. You know, I remember times when we've been up to our necks in trouble and anxiety. And I remember one saying to me in chapel, respecting that trouble that we was in, that it would be ill with us. It would be ill with us. But it wasn't, because the Lord was in it. Behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And those blessed people, you know, and they are blessed, they're God's people, who can give a good account if they was to be moved by the love of Christ, could give good account of their mercies and favours and blessings, singular, personal, despite sin and iniquity. Wonderful times, you know, when a child of God does a little bit of consideration of things past. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written. Every child of God's got a book of remembrance, you know. Every child of God's got a book of remembrance. And the Lord writes in that book his deeds, his mercies and his favours. And he takes them back over the years, takes them back over the troubles. And they're opened up again to him. You know, that blessed psalm of repentance, Psalm 51. I often think about, you know, David was a sinner, but who's not? It's not for you nor me to pick up stones to throw at David. But you see, one of the things about this sin of looking back and doubting and listening to the voice of the enemy, it's a sin, it's a sin of unbelief, it's backsliding, it's disobedience to God. But you see, if you read that psalm again in your devotions, I trust you do, read what he asks for. Oh, he knew his sin, pleaded with the Lord that the Lord would remove his sins and his iniquities. Lay them before the Lord against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And so he seeks his purging with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And he comes to this, you know. This is the part I love. This is the part I pray for. Is this the part you pray for? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Do you pray for that? Restoration. There's a grace of restoration. There's a grace of recovery. But there's places and spots where the poor child of God listens to the enemy. What doest thou here, Elijah, in this land of doubts and fears? Have you nothing to speak of? And yet the Lord hasn't changed, you know. I was in the midst of trouble. I don't know if I've ever said this, but I'm not going to tell you the trouble. But I was in the midst of some trouble. Someone who calls himself a servant of God rose up against the cause of truth, and me particularly as the pastor. We went down to preach one occasion that year, a special service. One of the Lord's servants, and he was here last Saturday, came in to give the hymns out. He placed his hymn book in front of me and says, "Choose the last hymn." And I turned the hymn book open and looked who it was who gave it to him. And underneath his name was this: "Jesus Christ, thy Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on." Blessed that was. Blessed that was. You know, I've often felt like running away, but that was a sacred time that was to me. "Jesus Christ, thy Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on." Now, I don't know where you are, child of God, tonight. The Lord knows. I've always believed the word, and it's hard to believe it in these discouraging days, but I always believe the word and the promise of the word that it shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. And I know it says in poetry, "Omnipotence have servants everywhere." But when the Lord is pleased to use a word to gather in, as it were, and to encourage the people of God, that there is a continuing. "What doest thou here, Elijah?" After I'd gone to preach, I met a servant of God, and he was a very straightforward sort of person. You didn't doubt the meaning of anything that he preached. He asked me how I was getting on, and I said, "Well, if you want to know, I think I've preached it all. There's nothing left." "Oh," he said, "you'll come there lots of times." But how true, how true. Have you come to this place of giving up? Have you come to this place of going back? Have you come to this place where you see in a natural eyesight these oppositions and trials, these difficulties, and the first thing you're suggested is to go back? You know, when those disciples, and they were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, was offended at his word. They didn't understand it. They were offended at it. And as this immortal word is written, you know, they went back and walked no more with him. Not that they were separate from the disciples, or that they did this or that or something else. They walked no more with him. Now, this can never be written of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. This can never be written of him, but it can be written and is written for the encouragement and instruction and teaching of his dear people. What a mercy, you know, that the word of God tells this, and I quoted it: "He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And what a mercy when you and I get to these places of distress, and you question your pathway, and your pathway has become trying. I tell you how trying it comes sometimes. It seems to be contrary to the word of God. Seems sometimes. And I say this for this reason, for this purpose. In the 15th of Matthew, you find the words, you find these words. It's concerning Jesus Christ and the Syrophoenician woman. And these are the words, "And he answered her not a word. Does that trouble your soul? Does that bring you into trouble with your gracious God? I know what it is to go weeks over a matter, not a no, nor a yes, nor anything, nothing. And I know what that dear woman felt like. People say, well, you know, it's a most trying faith, but it's a real faith because it endured. But when you're in it, you don't see it like that. But you're in it in that spot and place where it's so distressing. She didn't see in the purposes of God how it was that she and Christ were brought together. She didn't see that. Jesus Christ went to find her. She had the trouble of her daughter lying upon her heart and distressed, and she brought it to Jesus. He answered her not a word. Very easy, you know, to dismiss it as a trial of faith. Very easy to turn to the first epistle of Peter in chapter 1 and say, and read, though now for a season. That's what it says. Though now for a season, if needs be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than a gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. What doest thou here, Elijah? Full of your own trouble, looking in the wrong direction, not looking up. The rest of the chapter, which is of no importance now, but the rest of the chapter prove this, that the man has still a work to do. Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. He still had a work to do. And also too, when he was complaining that I only am left. So the Lord told him that there was 7,000 in Israel that had not bowed the knee to Baal or kissed him. What doest thou here? But you know, you'll see, child of grace, you who fear the Lord, you'll see. It will come to you one day. It will be revealed to you one day. The purposes of God in these things. I haven't much time for people who flippantly talk about faith. If you read the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says this, the fire shall try every man's work. Of what sort it is. Of what sort it is. Just before then he speaks about gold, silver and precious stones. Wood, hay, stubble. Well, I remember these dear servants of God used to explain to us, you know, that gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. Let me put it like this to you. If you've got a real religion, it will be a tried religion. That will be the stamp that is to be found on it, you know. That will be the stamp. That will reveal the authority of God on it. Or these people who flippantly go on in their religion, and they mix religion with the world, and they still think it's right to do so. But you see, a child of grace has a religion that is a tried religion. If I put it like this, and I hope you'll forgive me if you think I've been not explaining it as I ought to. But you know, the pathway of Jesus Christ was a tried pathway. Have you ever wondered at those remarkable words in Gethsemane? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Have you ever wondered at those words? You can't enter into the fullness of those words, you know. It cannot be described what the burden of the salvation of the church was to be felt and realized by the Lord of life and glory. We read and we say, sweat as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And all those incidents that surround it, you know, the disciples of Jesus fleeing, the apostle Peter denying him with oaths and with curses, all these things. But the salvation of the church of Christ rested upon the obedience of Jesus Christ, and then rested upon the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one can't enter into the pain or the burden, you know. It's one thing to read in the epistles about the sin of the church being laid upon him. And you know, we sing that lovely hymn, the soldiers pierced his side, 'tis true, but we are pierced him through and through. But you see, on that cross at Calvary stood the Redeemer of his people. Stood that on that cross was crucified the Lord of life and glory, who was the substitute for his people. You know what a substitute is? Something in the place of another. And sufferings and sorrows of which the Church of Christ will never know were known by the Lord of life and glory. How he suffered, the just for the unjust, when he took upon himself the burden of their sins, the transgression of their sins, and not only that, dear friends, the condemnation for their sins. And then, as it were, the last moments of his of that crucifixion, he could say this, and you know, some of the children of God have had to say it, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Oh, I know the reason why the Lord hid his presence from his son. You know the reason. Or you know the purpose. It's a pathway that the Lord of life and glory walked out. I thought of that still small voice, and I looked at the closing moments of the life of Jesus on the cross, I mean. The closing agonies, you know, and we read this. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." No small voice then. And why? I've heard it said, I'm not commenting on it for a moment, but one of the comments you have on it, you know, is that crucifixion is a very weakening and a very lingering death. But you see, there was a victory gained. And the Lord of life and glory accomplished the victory. "I have power to lay it down, my life." He said, "I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." And with a loud voice, he cried, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. Do you know, one of the most sacred times in your experience and mine will be when, instead of glancing at our cross or our trouble or our trial or our difficulty or wondering how tomorrow will be, is when you, by precious faith, go to this word. It's in a hymn. "His way was much rougher, much darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine?" One of the things that a child of grace will be brought to know is that there is a going on. There cannot be a going back. There has to be sometimes a standing still. But in that standing still, the work of grace is still accomplishing its work. It's still working in the soul of his people. But this question then, what doest thou here, Elijah? And you, and I hope I say this in absolute love to your souls, before you put your head on a pillow tonight, if you're in any of these things that I've tried to speak about, you can answer this word before God. But has he ever forsook? I once said, you know, I got into my vestry and I said this to somebody, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And the person said to me, what happened the last time you said that? What happened the last time? We see the Lord appear. I'll tell you something else. I preach at Hanover one Sunday a year. Before they had a pastor, I used to preach more than one. But one Sunday there, it was one of those dark, dismal, distressing times. And I could have run out of the chapel if I would have let me. I didn't know what I was going to do. And next time I come, you know, it was the first Sunday, I think I'm right in saying, in September of that year. And I approached the calls with fear and trembling. Should I go again, be brought into that place of absolute distress? And I'll tell you this and then I'll finish. They have a prayer meeting at 10 o'clock. And the deacon read from the word of God in the prophecy of Isaiah these words. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And I tell you this, to his honour and glory, we had a good day. The mountains flowed down. But you see, his presence, not someone getting over them or advancing in the knowledge of religion, and so, as it were, passing on upwards into some advancement of knowledge and place. You and I shall continue, child of God, but only as the Lord gives grace. That's how it shall be. Only when he says this to you in your dismal, distressing, dark place, what doest thou here, Elijah? You know, the Lord will appear and the Lord will deliver. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock next Tuesday evening. Hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? 329.
that beautiful hymn, Lord, upon the spirit and heart of thy people. Lord, alone and bless thine own word. Forgive and pardon too what has been amiss in thy most holy eyes. Take us home now safely. Keep us from evil, keep us from harm, keep us from ourselves, Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us now and always. Amen.